You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 12th of February, 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioAlbion.com. Well, today I've got the news story that we weren't able to get into yesterday. And once again, it concerns the different way that the ethnic minorities are treated to the way that the indigenous people are treated of these islands. And this case in particular is happening in Britain. It's about a black child complaining that she's being discriminated against because she's expected to keep her hair at a reasonable length, basically. A pupil who was repeatedly sent home from school because of her afro hair wants to make sure it doesn't happen to any other UK school child. And there's two things about that. It's not just a pupil, is it? Because there is only one type of pupil that actually has afro hair. Caucasian pupils don't have afro hair. Only black pupils have that. And she wasn't sent home because of her afro hair, because there are plenty of other pupils that have afros and they don't get sent home, do they? So there's obviously something about the afro hair that was causing her to be sent home. And of course, it was because it was far longer than it should be. And that's not an unreasonable request to make, to ask a pupil to keep their hair at a certain length. When I was at school, boys couldn't have their hair any longer than their collars, and they couldn't have their hair shaved. And you could say, well, this is sexist because girls can have their hair longer than the collar. But that would be a ridiculous thing to say because you expect children at school to look neat and tidy. They're being taught to have self-discipline while they are at school so that by the time they get to college or by the time they get into the working world, they already have learned how to discipline themselves. And part of that is learning to keep yourself neat and tidy, wearing a uniform along with everybody else. And the uniform helps so that children don't stand out. If you have a uniform that everybody has to wear, then you don't have kids that come from a poorer background that can't afford the latest clothes and they don't get picked on for that. So there is a good idea of just keeping everybody equal by getting them to wear a school uniform. The other equality that we have in schools is that you have to have your hair at a reasonable length. Yet because this girl is black, obviously she thinks she doesn't have to obey the same rules as everybody else. And she's been rewarded for that. Ruby Williams received £8,500 in an out-of-court settlement after her family took legal action against the Urswick School in East London. She was told that her hair breached policy, which stated that afro-style hair must be of reasonable size and length. Now, what is wrong with that? How can that be in any way discriminating against blacks? White people have to have their hair of reasonable size and length as well. I dare say they wouldn't allow white pupils to have Mohicans. They wouldn't allow white boys to have long hair down to their waists because they are expecting people to look neat and tidy. And of look similar, so that the pupils have a certain amount of regularity to them. The school did not accept any liability, but they did pay out this money. So she's realised that she will be rewarded if she claims that anything she doesn't like or anything she doesn't want to do, if she claims that it's racism, then she's going to be rewarded. Ruby told Radio 1 Newsbeat she wants UK schools to have better guidelines on their uniform policy so that people can't be discriminated against when they're walking into school. And how can they make that guideline any clearer? Afro-style hair must be of reasonable size and length. I mean, is she saying that she's being discriminated against because it says Afro hair instead of just saying any hair? I mean, it'd be a bit ridiculous telling Caucasian people that their hair needs to be a reasonable size because Caucasian hair doesn't grow straight out of the head like Afro hair does. I mean, black hair is completely different to white hair. A forensic detective could tell you exactly what race somebody is just from seeing a cross-section of one hair. Negro hair doesn't actually produce the same oils that Caucasian hair does, which is why ethnic minorities use a lot of cocoa butter and a lot of oil products on their hair, because their hair is very dry, because it doesn't naturally produce any oils. So they have a totally different form of hair to us. So you would have to give different directions of how the hair should be looked after if you were going to regulate the hairstyles of your pupils. I mean, it is just common sense. I mean, they've actually gone out of their way to make specific guidelines here for ethnic minorities. But that's not good enough for her, because she thinks that because she's an ethnic minority, she should be allowed to do whatever she likes as far as her hairstyle is concerned. She said, "I'd also like to hope that this story gives confidence to those who might be staying quiet about a similar situation." So she hopes that this is going to cause some kind of a rebellion with more kids growing their hair out in wacky hairstyles and then taking the school to court for discrimination. And of course, the white pupils wouldn't be able to do that. The white pupils would just be told, well, either you get your hair cut or you get it put into a reasonable style, or you're suspended, because the white peoples can't say, well, this is a racial discrimination, because, of course, white people are the only people who can be racist, aren't they? Kate Williams, Ruby's mum, first spotted the policy on the school's website more than 3 years ago, after Ruby was first sent home because of her hair. So the mother knew this. I mean, the mother should have checked to see what the regulations were in the first place. I mean, all good parents are going to look at what the regulations are for the school uniform at the school, aren't they? They're not just going to send the child in wearing whatever they feel like wearing, with their hair in whatever style they feel like having, at whatever length they feel like having. They're going to check that. So the mother apparently didn't bother to check this until the child was actually sent home because of her unkempt hairstyle. Ruby, now 18, claims the school's head teacher, Richard Brown, told her that her hair was too big. And of course, he would say the same to a male pupil. He would say, your hair is too long. Or if, say, a white girl was to put a lot of hair, have long hair, and put a lot of hair gel in it, and use the blow dryer to put it up vertical off the top of her head, I dare say she would get sent home as well and be told that her hair was too big. But because this girl is black and not white, of course, that's viewed as being racist. She says the school based in Hackney claimed that her hair was distracting to pupils and blocked views of the whiteboard. So this is quite a logical position to take, isn't it? If the other pupils can't even see the teacher because the hair is so big, then it's quite a reasonable request to make that the child cut their hair and look similar to everybody else, rather than trying to make themselves stand out. And I dare say that because she had this hairstyle like this, she was probably mocked for this and ridiculed. I think that what we've got here is that the parents were pushing the child to do this as well because they thought they could get some money out of it. The Urswick School's governing body says the school recognises and celebrates diversity at every opportunity. I bet it does. The push to replace white people is celebrated everywhere, particularly in schools. The governing body is hugely distressed if any child or family feels we have discriminated against them, it told Newsbeat in a statement, adding, we do not accept that the school has discriminated, even unintentionally, against any individual or group. But they did still settle out of court for £8,000 with the family. The settlement offer was made by the London Diocesan Board for Schools directly to Ruby's family, without any admission of liability from the school. Since the initial complaints from Ruby's family, the school has removed the hair policy from its website. So now the kids are free just to have whatever wild and wacky hairstyle they like if they're an ethnic minority. If they have an afro, they can do whatever they like with it. Never mind the fact that if you're a white person, you can't do whatever you want with your hair. We have rules for white people, but now we don't have the equivalent rules for black people. The BBC first heard about Ruby's story in 2018. The Equality and Human Rights Commission was using its powers under the Equality Act to fund a race discrimination claim against the school on Ruby's behalf. She had spent years 10 and 11 while preparing for and sitting her GCSEs, being repeatedly sent home from school because of her hair. Well, she could have quite easily solved this just by cutting her hair so that it conformed with the school's regulations, couldn't she? It shocked Ruby at first. Am I really being sent home because my hair is growing out of my head the way it is? She told us. No, you were being sent home because your hair was of an unreasonable length, and instead of flattening it down or doing something with it so that it didn't distract the other pupils, you were insisting on making an exhibition of yourself. That's why you were sent home. And look at what they've done, basically, by giving this girl this compensation, is confirmed all this nonsense that she was sent home because of an afro, or she was sent home just because her hair grows. No, you were sent home because you refused to get it cut like everybody else has to. Ruby developed signs of depression and felt anxious about going to school because of it all. Well, I dare say some of that is probably because she was being mocked for her hairstyle. She worried she would be singled out by teachers in front of her classmates because of her appearance. She's deliberately doing this, I think. She's got to be deliberately doing it if they've told her, well, you need to get your hair cut, and she's refused to. She said, I felt like any time I would walk into school with my hair out, all eyes were on me, she said. Well, that's because you don't very often see people with huge afros, and the people that do wear huge afros like that, they do that because they want to be the centre of attention. And they don't complain about that. That's why they have the afro like that, is because they want to be the centre of attention. What the school doesn't like about this is that they want the centre of attention to be the teacher, not the distracting hairstyle. The school was sent letters from Ruby's GP and a clinical psychologist warning that she was suffering because of the policy. No, she's suffering because she can't comply with the policy, because she refused to comply with the policy, because she doesn't appear to have any understanding of discipline, self-discipline. Your hair grows and you have to cut it. It's a fact of life. Like, you have to cut your nails as well. It's claimed staff didn't offer her any support. Well, she's breaking the rules. Staff aren't supposed to support people in breaking the rules, are they? The school says it is impossible to comment further on a former student. Ruby tried lots of different hairstyles to comply with the school's rules. She tried braids, which can take hours to complete and cost anywhere from between £20 to £100 if done at a hairdresser's. Well, every other black person who wants to not have their hair sticking out of their head and distracting people, they have to put their hair into braids as well. It's not like she was the first person to have to do this. She's complaining about basically having to do what everybody has to do with their hair. I mean, if you're white, you have to brush your hair, you have to tie it up regularly, cut it, all sorts of things. She also tried putting her hair in different types of ponytails and slicking it back with gel. As if that's not something that white people have to do. I mean, this is what all people have to do to look after their hair. They have to cut it, use gel, do all these sorts of things with it. It's just what we have to do in order to keep ourselves neat and tidy. But for some reason, it was just too much for this girl to do. I mean, even as she says here, putting it in braids, which is what black people do, even that's too much for her. And too expensive because she had to pay for that. As if everybody else doesn't have to pay to go to the hairdressers. Her family found that whatever they did, it cost a lot of money, took lots of time, or risked damaging Ruby's hair. So other people, they don't have to spend money on this, do they? Other people don't have to spend time on their hair? This is the school's fault, is it? That she has to do something with her hair? I mean, even when you look at the native tribes of Africa, they all do things with their hair. They don't just leave it. After one incident, when Ruby says a teacher tried to put her own hairbands into Ruby's hair, she'd had enough. I mean, the teachers are really trying to help here, aren't they? They're saying, well, look, we could do this with it, and then the other children could see the whiteboard, but no, that's not good enough for her. She said, I ended up getting frustrated because my hair would keep bouncing out of the bun, and in the end I just said, if it's too big, can you please just send me home? Because this is not okay. So now it comes out that she was actually asking to be sent home. She's deliberately breaking the rules here, and then she is suggesting to the teachers that because she's broken the rules, why don't they just send her home? So she hasn't just managed to get time off school, she's also managed to get paid for taking the time off school. She says, why should I have to cut or change my hair? And people can have their hair all the way down to their hips as long as they want, but because my hair grows out, I need to cut it. Well, you see, here we have the problem with telling everybody that all the races are equal. Because now she's jealous of white people that can have their hair all the way down to their hips. But because her hair doesn't grow like that, because she has a totally different type of hair, because she's black. And if she'd been told, well, you are a different race, you're not expected to have the same hair as white people, then she wouldn't be thinking like this. I mean, so many of the problems that we have with interactions with other races is because they expect to be the same as the other races, and they're not. It's the same with the low average IQ, and they expect to be able to do the same things that white people can, and because of their low average IQ, they're not able to. And because they think they're the same as us, the logical explanation for that must be that the white man is somehow discriminated against them, trying to keep the black man down. And that's not the way it is at all. They shouldn't be expected to reach the same standards as white people because they're a completely different race altogether. All we end up doing is lowering the white man's standards to the same standards as black. I mean, because of this, either we're going to end up with all the black kids at the school can do whatever they want with their hair, or they're going to have to say, well, all the white kids can do whatever they want as well, and you'll end up with white kids with Mohicans and with the boys growing their hair long. Maybe people, as I say, hair spraying their hair up into the air into stupid styles. I mean, all of this is not what you want at a school. But because she's black, she can get away with it. Ruby hasn't always liked her hair. She started straightening it in 2013 when she was in year 7, which took around 3 hours twice a week. It caused her hair to become damaged, but Ruby felt like she needed it to look straight. Well, it damages anybody's hair that is trying to straighten their hair. But that's just the way that it is, isn't it? If you want to be doing different things with your hair, then you have to be prepared to pay for it. You have to be prepared for the for the damage that it might cause. I mean, the simplest thing for her to do would have been to just cut her hair, the same as anybody else would have to cut their hair if it was looking unkempt. She said, "I thought that there was something wrong with it, because why does nobody else have this hair?" she told us. "Well, because everybody else cuts their hair, obviously. It's not like she's the first black child in the world to have an afro. Everyone I see that has hair like mine has it in a weave or under a wig, and nobody actually shows it. So my hair can't be normal, and it can't be as nice as other people's hair." Well, I really don't understand that, because if people are wearing a weave or they are wearing a wig, it means that it's not actually their real hair, is it? They've got the same hair as this Ruby girl. They've got the same afro type of hair, and they cover it up with a wig or they cover it up with a weave, and they pay for that, and they put the work in to doing that, and that's just something that black people have to do, the same as white people have to put gel in it, white people put hairspray in it. You know, it's just taking care of your hair. And because of that, she thinks that she shouldn't have to do that because she's black. After seeing more people embrace their natural hair, Ruby stopped straightening it towards the end of year 8. What does she mean by that? Natural hair. Her natural hair is an afro, but she doesn't have to let it just grow and grow and grow and grow and grow until people can't actually see the teacher that has sat behind her. But in September 2016, she was sent home and told that her hair breached the school's uniform policy, leading to the legal action. Because it's racist to expect black children to look neat and tidy. After years of delays with her case, Ruby and her family decided to settle out of court. They now want to make sure that children with afro hair at school in the UK don't experience anything similar, and are calling for schools to mark World Afro Day, which takes place on the 15th of September, to raise awareness. World Afro Day. Imagine having World Moustache Day or World Chestnut Blonde Day. It's not as if this is some kind of an achievement, is it? All that is about is desperately trying to think of something that blacks can do that can be celebrated, and they can't actually find anything, so they've decided to celebrate their hairstyle. And it's ridiculous. Ruby, who is now studying for her A-levels at another college, says she does now feel confident about her hair. "I'm definitely proud of my hair. I'm proud of the progress that it's made and the journey that I've been on." I mean, what progress? All she's done is not cut her hair, basically. And you can see that her father has dreadlocks that go right down to his ankles. So she's well aware of things that she could do with her hair to keep her hair flat so that it doesn't look wild and unkempt. But she's just decided not to do that, and she's decided that because she's black, she doesn't have to do this. She doesn't have to obey the same rules as everybody else, basically. And I've got another story here, briefly, which shows you, once again, that blacks don't think that they should have to obey the same rules as everybody else. And when they are expected to obey the same rules as everybody else, then that becomes discrimination. And this is actually from Minneapolis. Minneapolis police officers will no longer ticket motorists for broken headlights or turn signals, instead handing out vouchers to pay for vehicle repairs under a new department policy, unveiled Wednesday. Now, why might this be? Why might it be that police are no longer actually going to hand out tickets and they're going to give vouchers for vehicle repairs? Of course, yes, you've guessed it right, because so many blacks don't bother to change the light bulbs in their cars and they get pulled over, and apparently that's now racist. The changes come roughly a year after a pitched debate at City Hall over a possible moratorium on certain traffic stops, with some council members seeing the move as a way to ease the racial disparities in the rates of traffic stops. Others worried that it would only harm residents in poorer neighbourhoods where gun violence is prevalent. That debate came weeks after a community forum where residents aired their frustrations about what they saw as years of harassment and discrimination at the hands of police. So just pulling over a car for not having headlights, that's now harassment and discrimination. Under the new policy, instead of writing a ticket, officers will now have the option of issuing drivers a voucher from the Lights On programme, financed by the non-profit group Microgrants, which partners with local organisations to promote economic self-sufficiency among lower-income residents, according to its website. The vouchers can be redeemed at participating auto shops to cover the costs of services such as replacing a bulb from a rear tail light. Exceptions include cases in which equipment violations result in a crash or harm to another, according to the new guidelines. Motorists with outstanding warrants or who have committed some other criminal act can still be arrested after being pulled over. And for our British listeners, because they are talking about people here from a lower income, that's code basically for black and minority ethnic in America. Lower income residents basically just means black. So this means that black people, instead of being given a fine for driving around without a light bulb, they will be given free light bulbs, basically, and free labour at the workshop to put the light bulb in. But that's not good enough for them. They're actually calling for even more than that. Civil rights attorney Nakima Levi Armstrong applauded the move, calling it a step in the right direction towards reversing age-old racial disparities between black and white motorists. And what does he mean there? Reversing age-old racial disparities? Have white people been given free light bulbs instead of tickets all this time? He said, ultimately, we want police officers to be problem solvers and not gateways into the justice system for poor people of colour, she said. But Peter Gamides, a community organiser, said that while he appreciated the chief's willingness to listen to the community's concerns, he didn't think the new guidelines went far enough. How does that reduce the racial disparities in the stops to begin with? I don't see that this policy change does that, Gamides said. One of our goals was to eliminate the stops completely and potentially mail a coupon to the owner of the car and hence remove that interaction with the cop that could not end well for either side. So white people will still be being stopped for having their taillights out. But if you're black, they thought that they shouldn't be stopped at all. They should just be given a voucher in the post to pay for getting it fixed. And they see that as reducing the racial disparities. I mean, they really do think that it's discrimination against them to have to obey the same laws as white people do, just the same as this girl, Ruby, who thinks that it's racial discrimination for her to have her hair at a reasonable length, the same as all the other pupils in the school. And this is just going to continue and continue getting worse, all the while that we keep going along with this nonsense that the races are all the same and trying to even up these disparities that are actually caused because of the biological differences between the races. Thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.